The second Sunday of Easter, the octave of Easter. Easter really continues for 8 days. It's been Easter all week, so feel free to have chocolate Easter eggs and stuff tonight. No guilt, all right, at all. So, has also more recent times come to be known as the Divine Mercy Sunday, which is from the revelations made to Saint Faustina Kowalska, who's a Polish sister, and widely popularized and really sort of spread throughout the world, largely through the influence of Saint John Paul II, who just happened to be from Poland himself as well. But the and it's a very, very appropriate connection, very providential, I would say. The hand of providence is all over this. That this would be the Feast of Divine Mercy. Because the gospel for the second Sunday of Easter is always this gospel that we hear. This gospel that begins on Easter Sunday night with the institution of the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, when Jesus appears to the apostles and breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In English, we kind of lose some of that connection, but in Hebrew and in Greek, the word for spirit and breath are essentially the same thing. So when Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," he's essentially repeating himself. It's the same thing. And then he says, "Those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And those whose sins you retain, they are retained." And that is the institution of the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, which is the tangible, sacramental experience of the mercy of God. The most profound, sacramental, and therefore sensible. It's something we actually hear with our own ears of the mercy of God. I'll let you in on a little secret. We don't celebrate it quite in the same way as the sacraments that they're going to be receiving tonight. But all of these people have also made their first confession as well, okay? That's a part of this coming in, experiencing the mercy of God. And then this gospel fast forwards a week later, you know, that first time Thomas wasn't there, and then a week later, 8 days later, that's where we get the word octave from, 8 days later, Thomas is there. And Jesus appears again and he greets them as he always does, "Peace be with you." And then he sort of says, "Okay, Thomas, over here." Because Thomas has said, you know, in kind of a, you know, smart alecky kind of way, I think, to the other, "You know, you guys are so gullible. I'm not going to believe this stuff until I actually put my fingers in the nail marks of his hands and put my hand into his side." And so Jesus says, "Okay, Thomas, here are my hands. And here is my side." If you're into art, go look up. There's a wonderful painting of this by the great Baroque painter Caravaggio. It's so tangible. I mean, you can almost feel Jesus's flesh, to tell you the truth. It's so unbelievable. But and so this is how the mercy of God works. The mercy of God is not an idea. It's not a theological concept. The mercy of God is Jesus. The mercy of God is Jesus. And that's how it works. You know, how does this make any sense? You know, think of the worst things that you can do or that you have done. Things that you can't do anything about, or I can't do anything about. That thing once done, that thing once said, that can't be unsaid or undone. What am I supposed to do about that? Nothing. I can't really do anything about it. But mercy takes care of it. And how? By bringing it into contact with those wounds of Jesus Christ. Every time we receive a sacrament, it is an encounter with Jesus Christ, an encounter with the living God. It's not some ritual we go through. It's not some, you know, sort of thing we do, you know, because it makes us feel good, or, you know, some kind of crazy history. It is touching Jesus. And so I'm going to pick on you all, but everybody here, but are those to be confirmed and make your first Holy Communion? Jesus is kind of putting you on the spot as well, just like he did Thomas. Touch my hands and my feet. Put your hand in my side. Experience the depth of my love and mercy. I was here for the Spanish Mass. Father Edwin was waxing eloquent and made it beautiful. He said, of course, love and mercy are the same thing. They're actually both Jesus. If what you're doing tonight, if this goes for everybody, if this is just a ritual, if this is some sort of ritual for you, go on home. If this is you know, something, I don't know, what else, if it's anything other than encountering Jesus Christ in your need for him. Pope Benedict said this beautiful thing. He said, our misery is what attracts God's mercy. God finds the things that we find hardest and most difficult about ourselves, or maybe the things that we're most ashamed of, or whatever it may be, the most attractive things about. They literally attract God. I was having to fill in partially this weekend in another parish, doing a couple of Spanish Masses. And you see this very closely in the connection between the word misery and the word mercy. Misericordia. Cordia, the heart, from the heart of Christ. This transforms us. It changes us. Look at Thomas. How do we usually call Thomas? What's the usual little name we call? We call him what? Doubting Thomas, right? That's a bad rap for Thomas, actually, to tell you the truth. He was doubting. But what happened to Thomas? He what? He changed. He changed. When he encounters Jesus, those wounds of Christ, what does he say? My Lord and my God. Do you know that doubting Thomas is the only person in the New Testament who ever calls Jesus God directly? St. John builds his gospel around these professions of faith that people make in who Jesus is. Thomas is the crown of that. My Lord and my God. My Lord And my God, Thomas changed. He changed. Do you know what? You can change. I can change. The world doesn't. The world pegs us, doesn't it? Said, nope, that's you. There you are, right there. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. Have you ever done that? Said something like, you know, you've done something, you know, made some big mistake, or done, and you say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, that's no excuse. Change. Change. We can change. Like, for example, the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. A lot of people approach it like a car wash, okay? That you go through it, but you know your car is going to get dirty again and you can just come back next week, right? No, wrong. It's a moment of conversion. Now, the Lord knows we're weak, and we do too, and we may have to come back. But what He intends for us and what we ought to intend for ourselves is that we will change. When you come to Holy Communion, the power is supposed to come out of Jesus like it did for the woman with the hemorrhage. All these other people were bumping into Jesus. They were touching Him. And Jesus stopped in that crowd and said, "Who touched me?" And the apostle said, "What do you mean, who touched you? All kinds of people are touching you." But He knew what He meant, and that woman knew what He meant. Who touched me in a way so that power went out from me, so that she was changed. She was healed. That's the way you want to come to Holy Communion, with that kind of expectation. I remember one time talking to some group of young people preparing for confirmation, and I was really trying to build up confirmation, and there was a kid, who said, "Oh, well, I was confirmed last year. It wasn't a big deal." And I went, "Ugh, give me here." It's a big deal. It's letting your heart be filled with the love of God by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, and empowered to go out and share in the mission of Jesus Christ and in the mission to bear good tidings to the world. It's a big deal. We can change, just like Thomas did. Just like Thomas did. So every time you encounter the Lord in one of the sacraments, make that profession of faith of Thomas. Let's do it together. My Lord and my God.